Well, with a solar eclipse and a major hurricane that hit Houston, or hit Rockport and then Houston, and all the flooding and devastation, another bigger hurricane right behind it, and a third hurricane on its way.
Yeah. And the frequency is the factor. The frequency.
And the fact that we just had a solar eclipse, and there's going to be another one in 7 years that puts a big X across the two paths, puts a big X across the heart of America.
Right.
I'm looking up. You know, I believe Jesus is coming back. I was telling, we had a magazine salesman come to our door last night.
Yeah.
And he wanted me to buy a magazine, and I honestly didn't really want to buy any magazines. But he said I could donate a magazine to, you know, like a kid's program somewhere or something like that.
Yeah.
So I just had the thought, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to preach the gospel to this guy, tell him I'm going to buy a magazine from him, but he's got to listen to the gospel first. And we prayed a salvation prayer with him.
Great.
When we were done.
Great.
Told him about Jesus and said, you know, have you seen all these hurricanes and everything that are coming across? Jesus is coming back.
Yeah.
And
terrific.
You know, whether he was just listening so he could get the sale or not, we prayed the salvation prayer with him and he repeated after me. So,
well, that's good. You know, the other thing that's noteworthy to me is everything is the worst in history.
Yeah, right.
Worst hurricanes in history. The fires in LA, all the fires they've had, this is the worst one they've ever had.
Right.
You know?
It's Jesus is coming back.
Right.
I've literally looked up at the sky, and I'm now looking at the sky with expectation. Nobody really knows, right?
No,
nobody knows the day or the hour, but we can see the signs.
Yeah.
And the signs to me are clear.
Yes.
That he is coming back, whether that's today or 7 years from now.
Right.
Or 70 years from now, but I think it's more on the front end of that. And I think it could be any day.
There's just so many signs. The most important thing is that you're living today like it could happen today.
Right.
In other words, we shouldn't be living any different than because we think it could be today. And if you need to live differently because you think it could be today, you better start living differently, you know?
Right, and tell people about Jesus, too.
Yeah,
that's what
I mean.
Say, hey, have you seen the news about that? Or when people bring it up to you, say, you know, all of these natural disasters are happening for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know that Jesus is coming? Do you know who Jesus is?
Yeah.
I mean, I just think it's a great conversation starter for witnessing.
Yeah. The other thing, too, I was thinking is, you know, America is the only Christian nation or nation that was built on Christianity or freedom of religion, not freedom from religion, freedom of religion. And when we start down this road of killing babies through abortion, and also that we, you know, are condoning every sin and everything that's against the holiness of God. And we're not, I don't know, I think there could have been a turnaround, or there should be a turnaround with, you know, the election of 2016. And there's just so much division and negativity. I mean, God has a judgment side. And as in the days of Noah, when you see things as in the days of Noah, I don't think we could be any closer than seeing things as in the day of Noah, as well as the total decline of our morality, our government systems, our churches, our homes, divorce rate, you name it. The other thing I just want to say here as an appeal to Christian listeners is that, you know, 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people that are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and repent and turn from their wicked ways, I will heal their land. As you said, you know, when we start seeing crises that are out of our control and experiencing them, people get serious. Mm-hmm. So there's talk of a last great outpouring of the Holy Spirit and revival. You know, Christians praying that in. So even, you know, if and when it is soon that more and more get saved, is contingent, always contingent. Revival is always contingent down through history on intercession, you know.
So pray for revival. Pray for the people in the path of these natural disasters.
Right.
So in the past few podcasts, we've been talking about the two streams, and we're now on part six of the two streams. And previously, most recently, we've covered the lies we believe. And before that, we covered making a timeline, essentially a history of your life, all of the mainly negative events, but also the good events that have happened, and identifying traumas that may have created wounds in your heart and in your life and in your soul that God needs to heal, that you need God to heal. And so today we're going to walk into the steps for healing, But if you haven't made a timeline and you haven't identified the lies you believe, we want to encourage you to go back and do that. And you can actually get copies of a sample timeline and the lies we believe at totallytransformed.org/print. If you go down, go to that website, you can download those as PDFs. And we encourage you to stop and do that if you haven't, and take a, you know, however long it takes you, because those are important prerequisites to what we're going to cover today in the steps to healing.
Right.
So, steps to healing. And this is also in Save But Not Free, which is Dr. Connie Borden's new book, starting on page 155, chapter 17, The Steps for Healing Soul Wounds. So you can follow along there if you have a copy of the book. If you don't have a copy of the book, you can get it at any major online bookseller like Amazon and Barnes & Noble, as well as at savebutnotfree.com.
And what's good about that, Lance, is, you know, we can't put everything in a podcast. So if people feel they need more elaboration, more definition, sometimes a whole chapter is dedicated to each one of these steps, or not each one, but some of the steps. And, you know, I just want to say that the reason why we have steps, we're not trying to put anything in a box, especially the Holy Spirit. You know, people just say, Lord, I'm wounded, I'm hurt, heal me. He's going to answer that prayer. But I've found through going now with this and ministering to many, many people that there's sometimes blocks in our heart. There's sometimes strongholds that need to be broken. There's sometimes a surrender that needs to happen. And so what I feel like is if you know these steps and cover these steps, you'll have a very comprehensive experience of healing. And I think sometimes if you leave out the steps or one of the steps, that sometimes you're not completely healed. And so that's why we did the timeline and the lie chart, because you can pray in a group or you can pray one time for a wound or trauma to be healed. But while you're at it, why don't you just come up to date and be totally whole of any rejection, hurt, or trauma that might be resident in you, or the reactions from that, or the lack of forgiveness, or whatever needs to take place that we'll cover today. And then you know you're whole, and you'll feel you're whole, and you'll feel stronger, and then you can work on staying whole in a hurt world where hurt people.
You know, and each one of us in our lives as we live it are going to experience new hurts that we need to process, even if we've already processed the major traumas from our past. And, you know, I was just sitting here earlier this morning walking through the steps, and they're amazingly impactful in their healing capability as you walk through them. And so I just want to vouch for them to just say that having walked through them myself, they are powerful. And so anyway, without further ado, prayer step one is to admit negative patterns. So talk about that a little bit.
Well, also, and before I do that, I just want to say the goal of getting free is to stay free because of what you just said. And if you've gone through the steps and you're cognizant that you've been healed and you're whole, and it's a strategy of the enemy to keep you vulnerable and weak and concentrating on what's hurting on the inside instead of helping people that need help on the outside, then hopefully these are resident within you and quick to come up in your heart if you're hurt. So you just don't hold on to that hurt. You don't hold on to the reaction. You confess it. You ask, you forgive yourself. You forgive the people that offended you. You let it go. And then it never becomes a stronghold or something that you have to deal with. But the first step, the reason why you need to admit negative patterns is because we don't see the soul. We don't see a wound on the inside. We see a wound on the body. So, but if you're walking in negative patterns like anger and fear and, you know, deception, relationship issues all the time, you can't get along basically with other people. And in other words, you've got to say this pattern that I'm living or the patterns that I'm living is not consistent with the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith. And so therefore, it's my contention that when you're living negatively or thinking negatively all the time, you potentially or probably have wounds. So if you don't admit that, if you just say, oh, this is the way I am, and, you know, I just have been through 3 divorces now, and my family has to live with the fact that I'm angry all the time and yelling, well, then you're not going to fix it. You're going to just feel like that's the way of life, and it isn't the way of life for a Christian.
And I felt like admitting negative patterns was also a way to admit my contribution to the hurt.
Yeah.
Like I may have, you know, contributed to someone that hurt me by my negative patterns.
Correct.
You know, and they may not have reacted in a way that was appropriate and therefore it hurt me.
Yeah.
But my negative patterns may have caused it or, you know, caused them to react to me.
Yeah.
And so which, I think there's an important step there of repenting for our contributions to our hurts if we had one.
Which bleeds into number three about you can't confess it if you don't recognize it. So in other words, prayer step one is about recognizing. You can't fix what you don't recognize, either what's in your heart or that you have a hurt or that you have negative patterns.
So in that prayer step one, admit negative patterns, here's the example prayer, and you can pray that along with me right now. God, I come to you in the name of Jesus, and I admit that I consistently walk in negative patterns. I recognize that it is not your will for me to do that, and it is inconsistent with the lifestyle and fruit bearing you died for me to live and produce. Amen.
Yeah, and if that Jesus will help you when you pray to have a softer heart, a more repentant heart, or to even reveal to you what some of the patterns are if you need that.
Prayer step two is to define your hurts.
Now, this is where the timeline comes in. If you've done a timeline by listening to these podcasts successively, then you should have it in front of you. As Lance said, it's up at totallytransformed.org if you're just picking up this podcast. And if you don't have a timeline, just get a hurt in mind, a trauma, something, a wound, a time that you were rejected. But basically, when we go through this process, we're not just looking at one wound. We're looking at everything that you can remember from age zero on up to your present age as we go through one by one. So step two is, what hurt are you looking at for God to heal right now? And so that should be brought up from your timeline.
So here's the example prayer. Pray it along with me. God, when my offender blank, which you fill in the blank there with who and what was done to offend you. So God, when my offender blank, it hurt me deeply. I remember how I felt in that moment, and I ask you to enter into that memory right now as I process it with you.
And what's important about that is you're basically letting the emotions and the memory come up fully in your heart and your mind. Because oftentimes we have stuffed these feelings and hurts so far down that if you don't really take a few minutes to get specific about what you're asking God to heal for you, I think He answers specific prayers. And so you're allowing that memory, the feeling, the hurt, all to come up, which leads to prayer step three. You've got to, and I fully believe this, I feel like some people try to forgive without confessing, and some people try to confess without forgiving.
So prayer step three is to confess and forgive.
And what you're confessing is those feelings of reaction. You can't be rejected and hurt without feeling angry or hurt or rejected or fearful. All those are reactions, and it's not necessarily that the reaction is bad. We're human beings, but if you don't give them up to the Lord, they can become sins of strongholds because you meditate on them and you get more, you know, what I say, it's hurt, anger, resentment, bitterness, rebellion, which spells harbor, that you came up with one time, which is a good way to think about it. We either harbor these things in our heart or God is our harbor to take care of them. And so the reason why we want you to think about how you're feeling is so you can say to the Lord, listen, Lord, I didn't like that rejection or hurt or whatever trauma it was, somebody offended me, but I confess what I've been holding against that person, the feelings that I have, and I choose to forgive them because Jesus commanded us in the Lord's Prayer, and He said it again after the Lord's Prayer and many times in the Bible, that we have to choose to forgive. You may not feel like it, And oftentimes I tell my clients, we don't forgive because we feel like it. We do it because God forgave us. And if you want him to keep forgiving you, you need to forgive other people. Also, don't forgive because your offender deserves it. Forgive because you deserve it. So you're not plugged up with that problem. And then some people say, well, I don't want to forgive because I want to get revenge. You're never going to get revenge. Besides, revenge is mine, thus saith the Lord. You shouldn't be trying to figure out how you're going to get your offender back. Forgive your enemies. Do good to them that despitefully use you.
Yeah, if that's your bent, then you're ultimately going to get eaten up on the inside yourself.
Right.
It's only going to hurt you.
And then another thing you might need to do here is to forgive yourself. Sometimes we have, let's just say you've had a rejection experience and you've done bad things in return. You might need to confess that and then forgive yourself. And so therefore, sometimes the forgiveness piece of that is we forget to forgive ourselves when we've offended. When someone offends us, we forget to confess. When we offend someone else, we forget to forgive ourselves. So these two points, I think, are really essential. I don't think they're explained clearly enough. And I think people will ask God to heal them with all this stuff in their heart. And the Lord says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, you will not hear my prayers. And so I think sometimes healing does not come or fully come because of what is in our heart.
So pray this example prayer with me for prayer step 3 of confess and forgive. God, I confess that I've had reactions of fill in the blank, anger, fear, anxiety, whatever it may be, from my hurt and toward my offender that are not pleasing to you. I ask that you would forgive me for those reactions. Name each one of those right now in confession. I also choose to forgive my offenders for the hurt they have caused in my life, and I release them to you, absolving them of anything I've held against them. I also forgive myself for holding on to these reactions.
I just want to say one other thing about that. This came clear to me a number of years ago when Jesus said, Father, forgive them, when he was on the cross, for they know not what they do. You know, you can release your reactions and then have an attitude of God get them, or kind of delight that if they don't get right with the Lord themselves, they're going to go to hell. And the Lord brought me up short one time and said, you know, if you have my heart, you won't want even your offenders to go to hell. You'll pray that they'll come to their senses and confession and forgiveness, and that I'll have mercy on them, because I said that I wish that none would perish and fall short of the glory of God. And that's really the heart of God.
That's so good.
And that's a real love step, particularly when you're talking about your enemies. But that's what Jesus said. Love your enemies.
Right.
Do good to them that despitefully use you. That doesn't mean you continue to be abused if you're in an abusive relationship, but you have to release them and not be hating and angry and bitter towards them, and really to pray for them. If you're praying for them, you're loving them. You
right.
can't pray for someone you don't love or
right.
love in a right way, right?
Right. To your point earlier, if we don't want to face God's wrath and going to hell, we need to extend that same grace to others.
Yeah, and we forget that, I think, sometimes.
Prayer step 4 is to ask Jesus to heal your identified soul wounds.
Okay, so, you know, now that your heart is clear and open, you've confessed and forgiven, you've thought about the wound, you've defined it, and you realize that you're walking in negative patterns in both lie-based thinking and actions, you need to ask Jesus to heal that particular hurt. And that's what Jesus said in Luke 4:18 and Isaiah 61:1 through 4, I've come to heal the brokenhearted and set at liberty those that are bound. So we have not because we ask not. So we need to wait before the Lord and say, Lord, heal this hurt of rejection, this wound. And, you know, there's so many different ways he does this. Sometimes he can bring a picture of healing to your mind. Sometimes he can bring a scripture or just a download of truth about the event that makes you look at it in a new way. Many times just realizing that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, that means he was there in every hurt that you've sustained, every offense, and just kind of recognizing that he was there. And sometimes if these things occur when you're small children, you didn't have that recognition or that understanding of Jesus. And so just concentrating that he's in the room and asking him what he would like to show you, that makes a difference in this offense. And I've seen clients come up with all kinds of different pictures about Jesus standing in between them and their offender, Jesus reprimanding their offender. There's just so many different things he can show you, or he may show you nothing. He may just touch you. You know, it's not like there's any requirement of what he wants to do. The Holy Spirit is very creative, but it's just having an openness and awareness of his presence that he will heal you. And sometimes he does that in some very demonstrative ways.
You know, he showed me that he related to me in experiencing the same kind of hurt that I experienced, mm-hmm. you know, that he had been through it also.
There, yeah.
And I felt like that was healing to me just to know that he had been through that same
absolutely.
Thing.
Absolutely,
you know?
Yep.
So here's the example prayer for prayer step 4. Jesus, I ask you to heal the hurts I've identified. Show me anything I need to see to bring understanding and healing from my hurts to change their negative impact.
He'll answer that prayer. Absolutely.
All right. Prayer step 5 is to cast down lies in Jesus' name. And this is a good place, again, to have your lie chart in front of you if you've made one, because it'll help you. It's an aid to be able to have the lies you've already worked to identify available to be cast down.
And just let me say about that, if you haven't thought about that, and probably you have if you're listening to these podcasts, when you're hurt or wounded, it's an opportune time for the enemy to lie to you, either through the abuser or the perpetrator. Sometimes they'll say things to you like, you deserve this, or you brought this on, or you're not worthy to be loved, or anything, because they're guilty of what they're doing to offend you, and they're trying to bring you down to their level, basically. And of course, we know we're not wrestling with flesh and blood, but principality and powers and rulers of darkness. So if somebody says something to you that's negative, that's inconsistent about your character or your worth, you know it's Satan speaking through them. Also, when you've been rejected, you start thinking lies. Satan starts speaking to you lies like, it's always going to be this way, or I'll never get out of this, or some of the why questions, why me? And you start going around and around in a repetition of lie-based thinking, which becomes a stronghold, according to 2 Corinthians 10:3 through 5. The weapons of our warfare are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. We destroy arguments and every proud obstacle to the knowledge of God and take every thought captive in obedience to Christ. Actually, verse 6 says, punishing every disobedience to the obedience of Christ. Right there, it shows you that if you are thinking something contrary to the truth of God, it is disobedience. And we have weapons of warfare to the pulling down of that lie-based thinking, those thoughts that are contrary to the Word of God. So when I go through this with someone I'm ministering to, I use their lie chart, and after I've prayed for God to heal them, I also say, in Jesus' name, we call down the lie that they believe, that they're stupid, or that they're unworthy to be loved, or that they'll always be trapped, or they'll always be in this situation. And you can go through your lies and see, particularly if you feel like some pertain to the particular trauma you're asking God to heal, or just go through them all. Notice also, too, that the lies you believe are consistent with the things that you're confessing. Like if you've been angry for 5 years because you've been hurt, you've been thinking angry thoughts. So you might need to cast down a stronghold of anger or a stronghold of fear or a stronghold of anxiety that came from the wound. And so you can look at what you confessed and make sure that not only you confessed and asked Jesus to forgive you, but if it's turned into a stronghold, which we define as something that has a stronghold on you. This is not rocket science. Deliverance is not difficult. It's in the name of Jesus. I cast down this lie, and then it goes in really to replacing that lie with God's truth, which Lance will talk about in step 6, and also pulling down the stronghold, but we'll go on to that. But you need to identify that Jesus potentially needs to break lies that have been thought over and over and patterns that have been practiced over and over.
So pray this example prayer with me right now for prayer step 5, casting down lies in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I cast down the lies I have believed about myself, God, or others. I cast down the lie that, fill in the blank, whether it's I'm worthless or unlovable, I'm stupid, I'm depressed, I'm fearful, I'm powerless, I'm losing my mind, etc., whatever your lie may be, I don't believe that anymore, and I choose to believe what God says instead, which is, fill in the blank, I am accepted in the Beloved, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, God loves me, even if my father did not, etc.
Which leads into prayer step 6, to continue to state that truth. I mean, we could even combine step 5 with step 6, but we delineated it in our steps and in the book, because I think when you have lied to yourself and thought lies, continuing to state that truth of God's word instead of the lie you believe, because it takes a little bit to uproot the lie that has been saturated in your mind.
So prayer step 6 is to replace the lies with God's truth,
which is to continue to state the truth of God's word instead of the lie you've believed. And that's even after you go through this healing process. You want to continue, because Satan will try to come back to you because you've developed what psychology calls automatic thoughts or dysfunctional schemas, negative schemas. What we're saying here, and what Carolyn Leaf says, MD, that's written a book about this, that it takes probably maybe 60 days to go over a truth to replace the neural pathways that you've developed of lie-based thinking. And so that's why we started these podcasts with the 5 R's. Hopefully you've already been developing the cognitive restructuring of meditating on the word, and you've already had some healing in those patterns in your mind where you've thought over and over again the lies of Satan rather than the truth of God's word. But this definitely needs to continue, and particularly when you put it in conjunction with a specific lie on your lie chart that you realize in these steps is absolutely not how God thinks about you, and you know what he does think. So you can put it in Satan's face as a sword of the Spirit that cuts off his head and does divine surgery on those lies in your mind.
And the temptation here is to kind of fudge on this one and say, well, I kind of know a verse about that, and kind of, you know, rattle something off that you may or may not know is what the Word of God says. So I really want to encourage you here to look up the verse if you don't have it memorized already, and really get it down in your heart so that you're using God's word specifically and correctly when you're rebuking the enemy.
And if you have to take a few minutes to do that, do it, right. You know, on your phone.
Pause us and do it.
And when you're going forward, though, to go over other hurts in your timeline, you might have the verse ready. You know, you might do some research. Okay, this is the trauma I'm going to pray about. This is a lie I've believed. This is the verse that counteracts it. I mean, God would love that. You know, he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him, right?
Right. So here's the example prayer for prayer step 6, replacing the lies with God's truth. God, I declare, and here we're using the example of fear, inserting the verse reference, 2 Timothy 1:7. So God, I declare, 2 Timothy 1:7, that says, you have not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I choose to believe this about myself, about you, or about others, instead of the lies I have believed in the past from my wounds, offenders, or Satan. And you can go back and insert whatever verse you need to insert there to counteract whatever lie you've struggled with.
Right.
All right. And then prayer step 7 is to ask God to saturate you with his love.
And the reason why this is so important is because perfect love casts out fear, according to 1 John 4:18. In fact, in the Amplified, it says there's no fear in love. Dread does not exist, but full-grown, complete, perfect love turns fear out of doors and expels every trace of terror. For fear brings with it the thought of punishment. And so he who is afraid has not reached the full maturity of love, is not yet grown into love's complete perfection. And if you've been wounded over and over and you've never been shown unconditional agape love from your caregivers, which you should have been, it's hard for you to relate to that. And, you know, the opposite of fear is not faith. The opposite of fear is love, according to this verse. So I think it's really important in your openness and your clarity now, and you've confessed and you've forgiven and you've called down these lies and you've asked for healing, just to ask for him to saturate you with his love and replace any of the things I've just said in that scripture with his love.
So pray this example prayer with me right now. God, I ask you to saturate my soul with your love. Replace any rejection I have sustained in the past with your acceptance and love. I believe perfect love casts out fear. So I receive your perfect love right now.
And then in prayer step 8, pull down strongholds. The reason why we went back to this, you might have done that in prayer step 5, casting down lies that became a stronghold, or replacing the lies with God's truth as you think about it. But in other words, if you then just ask God to saturate you with his love and you're thinking that you've been walking in a stronghold of fear or whatever, it's just an extra piece here to make sure that you're pulling down any strongholds that have dominated your life and stolen your peace, your joy, your freedom. And, you know, this is what we say on the 5 R's to Victory to Your Thought Life. You can define the stronghold by any consistent negative behavior or obsessive thoughts that you can't seem to change. Anger, fear, control, distrust, pride, deception, unbelief, stubbornness, lust, or addiction of any kind. So in other words, you've addressed the lies and things that relate to that specific wound, but now we're making sure kind of in an inventory. If you still feel like you're dominated by strongholds, you can pray again and ask God in Jesus' name to pull down those strongholds.
So pray this example prayer with me. In Jesus' name, I pull down the stronghold of fill in the blank, anger, fear, anxiety, control, addiction over my life. It no longer has a hold on me. I pull it down according to 2 Corinthians 10:3 through 5. And using the weapons of my warfare, I bring the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, and the word of God against it, declaring and rendering it ineffective in my life. I also call down any generational sins, patterns, or strongholds in Jesus' name that came from others that are affecting me or my family.
And that's really important because it says the sins of the fathers will be visited on the third and fourth generations in the word. And so visited doesn't mean it has to be in your generation or passed down to your subsequent generations. But obviously, if you're confessing sins and you've been walking in patterns of sins in your thinking or behavior, you have maybe given the enemy opportunity to replicate those patterns in you or in your children. And so it's really important to call them down for you and to know you have authority over your children's children's children to call them down so that the righteousness of the fathers and mothers will be visited to 1,000 generations, right?
Yeah. So many times strongholds are just unaddressed.
They are.
And they're available to be pulled down because of the authority that Jesus gave us in Luke 10:19.
Correct.
All right. The last step, prayer step 9, is to ask for God's peace, to really just saturate your being.
Yeah, and you know, the Bible says, have no anxiety about anything, but in everything by prayer with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding. So sometimes I've had many times, really, an experience with people ministering to that they just feel an overwhelming sense of his peace. That's another sign that something has happened on the inside, that you've been changed. But this is a step to just say, Lord, I've been walking in the opposite thinking, the opposite pattern with anxiety and fear and anger. So just saturate me with your peace. He loves that prayer.
The peace that passes all understanding.
Correct.
So pray with this example prayer with me now. God, I now ask you to saturate my being with your peace, love, and joy, and I choose to walk daily in the opposite thinking and behavior that I once did. I will do this through your strength, grace, and the truth of your word. And so, Lord, now that we've reached the end of these steps, Lord, we just agree
Jesus,
with everyone that's listening right now, Lord, that you would do a healing work. Lord, if there's any one of these
Thank
steps
you,
that they need to go back to and camp out on, I pray that you would just show that to them.
Thank you, Jesus.
That they can go back and just listen to each one and take as much time as needed to allow you to minister your healing to them.
Thank you, Lord.
In the areas that they need.
Yes.
And so we just agree with them right now for total healing.
Yes, Lord.
Of those places in their heart where they need your touch.
Yes.
And we thank you, God, for your grace and your mercy and your love to extend this healing of the brokenhearted to anyone that wants to come to you, Lord Jesus, first as Lord and Savior, and then avail themselves of your available healing power.
Yes, Lord.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
I think this is a good time, too, to reiterate now that once you have the process, you can do the process as many times as is necessary, as of many traumas you have on your timeline. But I also want to give, this comes from Joyce Meyer. If you're having any resistance to this, even after you've heard it, she gives 5 reasons why we don't deal with our hurts and wounds, even after we recognize them. And I just want to say them quickly. We make excuses for our behavior or problems rather than facing them head on, 1. 2, we blame others or even the devil for our actions. 3, we procrastinate. I will do that or take care of that some other time. 4, we allow our lives to become so busy, sometimes even with good things, that we don't have time to take a deep look at ourselves. And 5, we don't want to face the pain of dealing with our hurts. And in my book, I add another reason. We don't know what is wrong and how to fix it. But that's no longer true, because with this podcast and or the book, you have clarity on what to do, how to do it, and how to fix it. And so don't let those reasons. It's better to face the pain head on and to be surrendered and honest before yourself and a few other people if you have somebody praying with you, than to carry these things for a lifetime, causing self-defeat, self-fulfilling prophecies, because as a man thinks in his heart, so he is.
If you'd like to connect with us, you can reach us at totallytransformed.org, or you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/totallytransformedministries, or on Twitter at twitter.com/TOTtransformed. Come back next week as we continue down this path of the two streams.